How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy Ronald, who's looking a little smug today. How's the week outside, Ronnie?
Why am I looking smug today, Nick?
We're going to get onto it. I know you dropped some bombs before we started the episode, so we'll get to that in a little bit. How's the
I
week?
don't understand how they can still be considered. I can't understand how they can be considered bombs up until this point. I mean, it's all I do is beat you on Super Brew. It shouldn't be a surprise at this point.
Okay, so we're just going to get right into what we were talking about and why you look smug then.
Yeah, what's the point? Why would we circle back to it later? We can circle back to other things later.
Okay, so Ronnie, where are you currently on our Oak Super Brew log?
I don't know. You should tell me since I'm ahead of you and you should be able to see me.
Okay, well, as this show has proved, your math is not ever really good. So you're in 78th. That surprises me a little. I am in 27th. 626.
Yeah, you're horrible at Super Brew, eh?
I'm
You're
having.
really bad at Super Brew, right? And you claim to know so much. You started a podcast and news channel. Honestly, if I was a listener, I would just completely disregard everything that you say. You know nothing, my friend.
Yeah, well, I know 627 things about rugby. You just know 78. So.
That's not how this works, but okay.
Yeah, Ronnie. So it was the weekend of semi-finals. I was very cocky on Punt-It this week with the social media offering our Adopt the Bull campaign and some tissues out there to the Bull supporters. Having to eat my words a little bit on that one. But yeah, we were at Loftus this weekend for the semi-final. Shout out to Mzwandile and his wife. They won the tickets to the competition. We did get to meet up with them at the stadium as well. Really hope that they got to enjoy the game. Also Sharks fans, so they were adding to the noise on our side at the stadium, at least. Did you manage to watch the games, Ronnie?
I really don't want to talk about it. Actually, I wasn't able to watch it. It's really, really challenging out here in Germany. I'm really struggling with it, but that's a conversation for another day. I did watch it all this morning. And yeah, I can't say I'm surprised about the outcome. I suppose if you go and listen to what I said last week, it was on the money, right?
Yeah, very, very cocky, hey. I'll have to go back and listen to that
What?
episode because I'm sure there was a whole thing about, when you back the Sharks, then they lose, but I'm going to back the Bulls because that means the Sharks will win. And well, what happened here?
Just tell me one thing. You keep sending these photos of where you sit at the Bulls at Loftus Stadium. How do you keep getting those nice seats there? Do
Yeah, you got to be
you
quick.
have season tickets?
No, I do not have season tickets. I would never buy season tickets for Loftus. I am not a fan of the Bulls. Just go to the big games, but yeah, I managed to get some pretty decent tickets for the last few, hey?
So you don't enjoy winning?
Oh, I do. That's why I'm a Sharks fan.
No. What have they won?
The Challenge Cup last year.
Oh, okay, cute. All right, well, nice tickets anyways. I've always wondered, is there like prime seats and a nice location, sun behind you. Yeah, good access, close to the bars. Must be a fun experience.
Let me just tell you, being close to the bars at Loftus is not much of an assist because you're still going to queue for fucking ever.
Understood.
Ronnie, let's get onto it then. So the semi-finals were this weekend, and based on the two winners that we have, it means that we're guaranteed to have a new title holder for the URC. It's been won by the Stormers, it's been won by Munster, it's been won by Glasgow. And now either of the Bulls or Leinster will be named the new champions in a week's time. But let's look at that first semi-final that went down at the Aviva. Leinster walking away 37 to 19 point victors over Glasgow. That was pretty much one-way traffic for a large portion of that game, with Glasgow sitting on 5 points for about 68 minutes.
Yeah, at least Leinster held it together. If you're a Leinster fan, you'll be happy that they held it together through the semi-final and didn't choke. It's a nice little outcome for them. It was, of course, like you say, one-way traffic, very dominant performance in favor of Leinster. Glasgow did put up a fight. It was nice to see, but it was just a really big ask to go over there to Leinster to try and beat Leinster. They're definitely the informed side. They're not spread thin across multiple competitions, so. Very strong side, and yeah, that's a big ask, really, to go and beat them.
Yeah, look, I think everyone had hope for Glasgow, considering they were the reigning champs, having won the Urk last year. But yeah, I think the scoreline flatters them a little bit in this one. 6 tries to 3. I expected a little bit more of a fight, a little bit tough. I think my Super Brew pick was Leinster by 6. Yes, you're going to give me shit for that. No, that's fine. But I did expect a bit of a closer contest in the semi-finals. Interestingly enough, Ronnie, this is the first time that Leinster have made it to the ERC final.
Right. So the new updated version after the South Africans have entered. And yeah, like I said, it's if you're a Leinster fan, at least you got that relief that you didn't choke in the semi-final and you actually make it to the final. So yeah, well done. Well done, Jacques Nienaber. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, so well, let's talk about that then quickly. So 67 minutes of that game, Glasgow went without scoring a single point. That comes down to defense. And we've spoken a number of times on this podcast about how important defense is for winning titles, especially in the playoff stages where the margin of error is so small. So some really stellar defense from the Leinster side there. That brings us onto the topic then of Jacques Nienaber. And a few weeks ago, the Leinster crowd were saying, you know, he's spoiling the Irish players. He's not a fit for Leinster. How do you think they feel after this one?
Yeah, I think it's not going to shake that sort of opinion that people have of Leinster, is that they can't take it all the way to the finish line, that they always seem to get a bit of big-headed or ahead of themselves and then collapse at the end. So that's not, this is just one win, and they've got a couple more finals to get through in order to sort of drop that opinion that people have of them. But they'll be very proud, of course, they're doing their job. I'm sure Jacques Nienaber worked on the sort of psychological component of getting into these finals, playing finals rugby, and saying, guys, you know, you need to stay calm. You just need to do your job. And when you do your job and trust yourselves and those around you, you'll make it if you're prepared accordingly. And that probably makes Leinster a lot more dangerous than they've already been. You know, as soon as they get a taste of the final and potentially going on to win the whole thing, they're going to be a very dangerous beast.
Yeah, you make a good point there with the mentality going into it. And with guys like Jordi Archia, Jacques Nienaber there, I'm sure that's been a helping factor in that. And it'll be interesting to see if Leinster do get over this final hurdle, what that means for them in the Champions Cup next year, the URC. You know, are they then going to have sort of broken out of the shackles that have tripped them up so many times? But I think when you look at a game like this, and often in the playoff stages, when a team falls flat with a scoreline like this, it comes down to there's some players that really rise to the occasion, perform. For me, Kyle Steyn from Glasgow, he was really, really solid for them, put in a huge shift. And other players that you expect to, you know, come to the party and really bring their best just seem to have faded away. So from the Glasgow side, not many standouts outside of Kyle. But then you look over to Leinster. I mean, two tries for Dan Sheehan, two for Jamie Osborne. That's tries up front from the hooker, tries at the back from the fullback, and, you know, showing their range and ability to score them across the park. But, you know, Ronnie, I'm curious for your view on this, because Jamison Gibson-Park was proving so effective for Leinster. And for me, scrum half, vital, vital controller in the game.
No, I don't really know how to answer that. I absolutely agree that a scrum half is a crucial. Every single position, maybe the props, not so much. You have maybe too many props. We can lose one, afford to lose one or two. But you're absolutely right that the nine is a crucial position. If your nine is not firing, you can either just play one of, you can only play a forwards based game if you don't have a nine. And even then, still, it's not going to be very effective. It's a very important role. People often overlook them, and it's to your detriment.
And I mean, his kicking game, Jamison Gibson-Park's kicking game at the moment is on point. He's really putting teams under pressure with that. Adding in James Lowe and his effectiveness with the boot as well. They're going to prove a tough task to overcome in the final next week.
It's absolutely not going to be easy. And which is why I thought that the Bulls need to beat the Sharks, because the Bulls are the only ones that I think can go over to Dublin and do a job. It's a big ask though. Leinster are a very strong side. They do so well every single season. They're the team to beat. They're the informed to beat. Their B team's winning games. Their C team's potentially winning games too. They're going to be full of confidence. Jacques's going to have controlled them. They're going to be arrogant about it. They're going to know what the deal is. And it's not going to be easy.
No, it's definitely not going to be easy, Ronnie. So let's get on to then the second semi-final from Loftus last night, where the Bulls walked away with a 12-point victory, 25 points to 13 over the Sharks. 47,214 people there at Loftus, Ronnie. And they're probably
tripled
that in brandy.
Well, that's incredible. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
But remember the days of what, 2010, 2009, 2007, when Currie Cup games, Vodacom Cup games, you know, the Super Rugby games were all packed out, sold in week in, week out. I miss those days.
Yeah, me too. They were really, really good. But I mean, good to see a crowd turn out there. I know Leinster last week, I'm appealing to their fans, please, please turn out and fill up the Aviva. About only 10,000 of them pitched up for the quarterfinal. So great to see the South African showing up here. Obviously, being a local derby, it draws a bigger crowd too. Ronnie, we spoke last week about it, and again this week it came up, was the Bulls' poor discipline. Three yellow cards in this one. It's something that teams tend to struggle with in playoff stages. If your discipline is poor, you're not keeping a full complement of players on the field. So maybe it speaks more to the Sharks not having that killer instinct to finish them off. But what can the Bulls do in 1 week to turn around the discipline issues? Three cards this week, two the week before.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I don't think anyone ever goes out to deliberately cause fouls and give away penalties. So it's something that you learn. It's a mistake that you make. It's because you haven't perfected your timing, and so you get caught with your pants down, essentially. So I don't think there's much you can do about your discipline. Motivate your players, motivate them to take special care of it, to stay focused throughout the game, to understand what their job is and how important it is on that specific occasion, and hope that the timing just works in their favor.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, Ronnie. Very little you can do in a week to change that. But looking here now, Ethan Hooker denied an early try, that intercept of his called offside. You know, in a big game like this, had that try been awarded, the scoreline could have been very different. Do you think he was offside?
I'm not here to complain about the refs. I've stated before, I think the variability that the refs bring to the game adds an interesting strategic element to the game. You need to be so good that you take the 50-50 decisions out of the game completely. Sharks weren't able to do that. Sharks deserve to lose.
Absolutely, absolutely, Ronnie. They couldn't finish that off. They had their opportunities. And I think the fact that shortly thereafter the Bulls returned with a try really swung the momentum. But interestingly enough, the Sharks had 59% possession in this game. Didn't look like it. It really didn't look like it. Spilling it at the rucks, spilling it all over the place. And for me, that was the biggest surprise, was how much the Bulls forwards bossed the Sharks around in this game. Scrum time, the early scrums, we looked very fragile. Breakdowns, the Bulls had our number at the breakdowns. You know, a number of matchups for the Springboks were on in this fixture. And I must say, the Bulls were winning outright in those instances.
Yeah, it's just Bulls rugby. For the Bulls, things are very clear. You play traditional Bulls rugby, and you know what traditional Bulls rugby actually means. But what does traditional Sharks rugby actually mean? We don't have that. We don't have that history. We don't have that game plan to fall back on. It's not very easy for our players to understand, or for the Sharks players to understand, what it is that, you know, in times of crisis, what do you rely on? There's none of that at the Sharks. It's like we're trying to play a specific way, and it's like going against the grain. And it just does. It seems to work once every 3, 4, 5, 10 attempts. With the Bulls, things are very simple. And I think then when you've got those big matchups with the big players on both sides, the team that has the simple job, the team that knows their job really well, like I feel the Bulls do, are probably going to come out on top 9 times out of 10.
So, Ronnie, I want to read a stat here to you and then tell us and the listeners what you make of this. But the Bulls on Saturday against the Sharks missed 40 tackles. The Sharks missed 25, right? But the Bulls made 181 and the Sharks only made 76. So overall, the Bulls' tackle completion rate was 82% and the Sharks only 75%. Is that like the Springboks, where Russ says, doesn't matter how many battles you get into or how many battles you miss, that's how many you get into?
Yeah, it's exactly that, right? I haven't checked your math. I haven't double-checked your math. And I challenge any listener that got to this point to just double-check Nick's math. He will send you a free T-shirt and a cap if you prove him wrong. But yes, it is exactly that, right? It comes down to how many battles do you get in and how many battles do you walk away from successfully? and in fact, that's also said incorrectly. It's just how many battles do you get into, whether you come out successfully or not. That's a different story altogether. So it's like the Springbok way of doing things. Just get into as many things. Even if you fail, just get up and focus on the next job. And if you're not doing that, then you're playing like every other team in the world. And you can't always play to perfection. You've got to sometimes brute force, sheer quantity of battles is what really is going to win you the game.
Absolutely, Ronnie. So I think the Sharks' biggest struggles came this weekend at 12 and 13. But there were a number of Springboks here. And when you look at the official URC rating for the players from this weekend, a number of frontline box, Vincent Koch, Bongi, Ox, Andre, Lucanio, getting 4 out of 10, 3.5 out of 10 ratings for this game. Do you think they've already got an eye on the box squad with Rassi and Poe being in the stands last night, so they weren't too interested in this one? You know, they're more interested in donning the green and gold. Or do you think it was just an off night for the players?
No, of course it's important. You know, the thing that presented itself in the semi-final game between the Sharks and the Bulls is a matter of, it's big match, right? So it's that big match temperament. You can be a very skillful player, but ultimately when it comes down to your BMT, how do you perform? And this was an opportunity to see how the good players, players that have already been earmarked, that Rassi's already put in the team and developed a plan for. You know, now in the big games, how do they react and how do they play? And does that potentially warrant a change or a redirection in terms of Rassi's plans? So that's the benefit that yesterday had. So yesterday was important, but it wasn't important down to an individual level. It came down to BMT and who has it and who doesn't.
Yeah, Ronnie. And then just the last point from me on this game, and I think it's proof again, you know, the cream rises to the top in these situations, because Makuzola Mapimpi had a cracker game for the Sharks yesterday. 15 carries from him and a try. He was looking for work absolutely everywhere. And then across the field in blue, Willy Leroux, absolute champion quality player again, putting the Bulls in space, organizing their defense. And, you know, these guys, they're in the twilight era of their careers, but with performances like that, you can absolutely understand why Rassi still backs them and calls them into the squad. Whether it's to teach the youngsters or to pull on the jersey, you know what you're going to get from these guys.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it actually any better. It sounds like you've been listening to me a lot with your opinions now, because you're developing very good and sound opinions, my friend.
Unfortunately, I have opinions once a week on this show.
Sorry, you break up there. I couldn't hear anything you said. But especially Willy. I'm really, really sad that Willy is at the end of his career now, and his career is coming to the end, because you're right. He's just somebody that you can rely on. And then my pimpy's hard as nails. Love to see another matchup between Mapimpi and Korobetsi, because I know absolutely Mapimpi is going to best there, because he's so tough. And these are incredible players that are now stepping out of the game, and it's really sad to see. And I'm not sure about the youngsters that come in, and I can only hope that the youngsters that step into their positions are incredible, and we forget the names of Mapimpi and Willy in a couple of years, because that'll mean that the youngsters have done their job.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Ronnie. So the URC final then is coming next weekend. That's going to be at Croke Park. They're moving away from the Aviva for this one, back to their more traditional grounds. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. in Dublin. Ronnie, I was just praising the Bulls' ruck speed and how they managed to boss the Sharks at the rucks. But I noticed an interesting stat when preparing for this episode, and that's that 50% of Leinster's rucks last 3 seconds or less. And that's down to the efficiency of their forwards, but also Jamison Gibson-Park clearing those rucks. There's no place for pedestrian-level rugby in this game. Is that going to be where it's made or break? The rucks, the breakdown, the most crucial area for this fixture?
Yeah, I don't look about the most crucial. What is the most crucial? What is the most important aspect to a rugby competition? I don't know. But of course, it's a very important thing. How many rucks occur during a game? It's so many. So if you're able to control the ruck speed in whatever way, slower or faster, whatever to your favor, then by all means, it could well be the deciding factor. So if they're doing it under 3 seconds, I was just counting it out in my head now how long 3 seconds actually is. But yeah, it seems pretty fast, and a lot of collision points taking place in a very short time, in only 3 seconds. Yeah, that's very impressive.
Ronnie, what's your prediction then? Are the Bulls going to get their first Urk title, or is Leinster going to break their Hoodoo and Chokers title and take this one home?
But you tell us first.
I'm going to say Bulls by 8.
Sure. Bulls by 8 is a huge call. To go over there and beat them by 8 points. Are you? What? Do you, what? Why? That's insane.
You guys heard it here first. What about you, Ronnie?
Bulls by 1.
Yes, sir. Talk about sitting on the bloody fence. Ronnie, then just look over at the other competitions. Leicester Tigers got a good win this weekend over Sale, and they've set themselves up with a final against Bath. Swan song there for guys like Dan Cole, Ben Youngs, Andre Pollard leaving Tigers as well as their head coach, Michael Checker. So that's going to be a good one in the Prem final. And then Super Rugby is heading towards the semi-finals. The Crusaders will be hosting the Blues. The Chiefs will be hosting the Brumbies. And I think it's quite an incredible thing that needs mentioning here, Ronnie, is that the Crusaders took their home playoff record to 30 straight wins and 0 losses.
Yeah, that's impressive. The Crusaders, especially after the dismal season that they had the last year or the year before. Yeah, look, it's the Crusaders that stepped it once again. This past weekend was some very exciting fixtures, especially in the Blues game. I enjoyed that one more than anyone else. That was fantastic to see. And just thanks for reminding me, but we need to take a look at Richie Munga and the great things that he's done over there in Japan, because I think he's like on his 9th straight tournament win, tournament win.
Back-to-back league one. We'll have to talk about that for sure.
We can maybe do that next week.
Ronnie, then just a bit of a concern. Eben Etzebeth was ruled out of the Sharks-Bulls semi-final, seemingly with another concussion. And that's quite a worry for a player that's been out for a few months after difficulties with a head knock that he suffered in December. So we're all here hoping that Eben, the most capped Springbok of all time, is going to be available for the box come July.
No, I don't know why we're playing him. You know, he's earned his stripes. He's earned his rest. We could actually legitimately rest him and use him very sparingly in preparation for the next World Cup. I don't know why we need to. We don't need to force him to play now, right? No. We don't understand the contractual obligations, of course. But I just think he's such a good player, such a value to the Springbok setup. Why play him if we don't need him?
Yeah, you try to tell Eben that he's not playing on Saturday. Ronnie, then sure. Cam Hanekomb sustained a hamstring injury in this one. It looks like he's a bit of a worry for the Springboks. So all those that were panicking, Ivan Roos has now had a call up to the Springbok squad. I know there'll be some many, many happy people now seeing him in there. But the box squad is assembled as of today, Ronnie, in Pretoria. I think next week's episode will get into the squad that's assembled and all the players that are in there as we turn our heads towards the international season. But great to see that they've got so much prep time ahead of the July incoming tour.
Yeah, Barbarians fixture is going to be exciting. Italy's going to be exciting. I think this is a fantastic opportunity for the Springboks to play around with some combinations and give some French. This is like a perfect setup for us. I actually can't think of anything better right now than playing the Barbarians and followed by Italy at this point in the World Cup cycle. We're going to learn so much about our players. It's going to be incredible.
Absolutely, Ronnie. So this then takes us to our May Fokchom moment of the week. And I don't know if you cast your eyes over to the Prem this weekend, but this week's moment goes to Andre Pollard for his cross kick to Adam Radwan, hitting them into the final against Bath at the weekend. A typical cool, calm, collected, ice in his veins, Andre Pollard with the perfect cross kick. Literally caught it and slid in for the try.
Moi, Andre. And that's it for this week on the Rugby Punted. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and the right amount of cheers. Don't forget to join us on Super Brute 2, where we'll see who's got the best rugby predictions and who's just winging it.